Welcome to the very first episode of Security.com, the podcast, where we're bringing together in-depth intel, real talk, and the human side of cybersecurity. I'm your host, Dan Mellinger, cybersecurity communicator and longtime storyteller. Each episode, I'll be joined by industry experts, defenders, and voices from the front lines to explore the latest enterprise security insights, straight from the pages of Security.com and the mind shaping the field. Today, I'm kicking things off with someone you'll be hearing a lot from on this show, my co-host and our resident subject matter expert, Paul Miller. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're going to be on a lot, so you're very welcome. Paul's a prominent voice in the community, a veteran of the SOC trenches, and a leader in threat intelligence and operations. And today, he's walking us through a primer on what many in the community call Hacker Summer Camp. If you're new to the scene or just haven't planned your week yet, we're breaking down the key conferences happening in Vegas next week, from the practitioner-rich B-Sides Las Vegas and the inclusive Diana Initiative to the Business Forward Black Hat and, of course, DEF CON, the world's largest hacking conference and the punk rock heart of cybersecurity. We'll also cover some essential security and safety tips for navigating the week, how to stay connected and protected. So grab your badge or maybe your burner phone and let's dive into what makes Hacker Summer Camp one of the most important and chaotic weeks in InfoSec. So, Paul, you know, most folks consider Hacker Summer Camp, right? Black Hat. If you're on the vendor side, right? That's all we do. It's kind of like a more technical RSA, but there's a lot more to this week. So could you go ahead and give an overview of kind of what's going on and what each of these areas is kind of tailored to?
Yeah. So as a little bit of historical reference, it's kind of fun because, like you said, everybody thinks of Black Hat from the industry and vendor perspective. But Black Hat was created because DEF CON existed. DEF CON had been this hacker event for, you know, 6-7 years ahead of the first Black Hat. And what happened was Jeff Moss, the guy that founded DEF CON, basically looked around and said, well, there needs to be a corporate version because security is becoming real. Like, as part of an industry, we need to mature. And so Black Hat was born as the corporate event that people could go to. Now, there's a little bit of conjecture here when I say this. I don't know how accurate this is, but the general take was that companies didn't want to pay to send people to DEF CON because they thought it was just a big party. And so Black Hat was started as a way to get your company to pay to go to these events, and then you would get a ticket to DEF CON on the backside of that and would be able to do the whole week. So it's kind of an interesting background on how that all went and how they came about over time. In the case of each of these, you know, we've got four of the major ones, and there's a couple other events during the week, but we're going to focus on the ones that I think have the largest attendance. Diana Initiative. This is a interesting conference. I want to say it started about 10 years ago. I may be off by a year on that. It's largely a practitioners conference, but it's really focused on people trying to make inroads into the industry, new to the industry. It really was kind of started as a way to get more women to get into the industry, right? And rightfully so, at that time, for sure, terribly unrepresented group. And over the years, certainly some of the most capable practitioners came through this route into our industry. So I've got a soft spot for Diana Initiative because they've done some really good work over the years and really helped us build a talent pool that's more diverse and capable. Super high quality talks, and there is a focus on new speakers there. So a lot of people that haven't done a talk at a conference before will come there and do that. And the reason I find that important is because new voices sometimes bring some of the most interesting out of the box ideas to the fore, right? And so we can go there and learn about these ideas and then maybe figure out ways to apply them appropriately across the industry. So that's Diana Initiative in a nutshell. We'll go on to B-Sides, B-Sides Las Vegas. As many of you probably know, B-Sides is a worldwide event. It's actually just a framework for holding a conference in tech or InfoSec. And so each city, each major metro usually has its own B-Sides. In this case, B-Sides Las Vegas tends to be the largest out of the bunch, right? So, and of course it is. It's on the same week as DEF CON and Black Hat and Diana. Like, everybody comes in on Monday and stays for the whole week. So It's largely a practitioners conference. A lot of blue team topics there, so applicable to our people watching this. It's a smaller, more real conference. Now, when I say smaller, I want to point out that under any other circumstances, it would be a huge conference. We're still talking several thousand people. But because it's the same week as Black Hat and DEF CON, everybody looks at it as a smaller conference. Very high quality talks, very high quality innovation coming out of there, and really helpful information comes out of B-Sides. Like, this one kind of hits a sweet spot of being in the middle of not just practical defense, but also showing how policy that a org may set can affect the long-term outcomes of that, right? So really, really good conference. One of my favorite ones. I kind of refer to it as a philosopher's conference in some ways, but it's really kind of very nuts and bolts too, right? So always an interesting one, always some good talks there. I'll be presenting there this year on an event we had a few years back here at ESG. That'll be a Sky Talk, I believe, on Tuesday night. So that's probably one of my favorite conferences out of the bunch because it's very, very chill, but at the same time, you get a whole lot of really good detail and info out of there. Amazing pool party too, by the way. Like that's how they close it down, and it is one of the best in the entire week.
I'll bring my trunks.
Yeah. You know, I don't think I've ever seen anybody actually get in the pool at this party. That's the funny thing. That brings us to Black Hat, which starts on Wednesday of that week, one day overlapping with B-Sides. So you might have to make some decisions if you're attending both. It's the business version of DEF CON, as I mentioned earlier. So it's really focused on vendors and almost like an RSA sort of feel, if you've been to RSA, just a little more focused on the threat intel side of things and more actionable content in their talks, right? Because RSA is very policy focused for the most part with their talk selection. And we need that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but this one is the opposite of that. You'll see more about emergent vulnerabilities and exploitations, things like that there. So when you go to Black Hat and you go to a talk, as a practitioner, you kind of want to put your defender hat on and really listen to what they're saying and pick apart what they're communicating in these talks, because many times they'll tell you, maybe even sometimes without saying it in this fashion, but they'll tell you what you can do to defend against these vulnerabilities they're releasing. So very, very worthwhile, really good one. Incredible swag game at Black Hat, like some of the best. Like you will, if you, yeah. My wife likes to joke that when she goes to Black Hat, she has a new wardrobe for the next year. So that's kind of how that goes.
Very marketing heavy, but we can't miss that there's a bunch of trainings on the front end of it too. There's a lot of labs. So that's the vast majority of Black Hat is the front half labs, which I think kick off over the preceding weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. And DEF CON has a very similar thing with their training schedule as well. You have trainings after DEF CON that you can attend that are very deep on the red team side of things, if you will, in our industry parlance. That's Black Hat in a nutshell. We've got DEF CON, and this is the big
last
one.
Last but not least.
Yeah, so DEF CON is the biggest hacking conference in the world. There's been spinoffs of it. DEF CON had a couple of them in China before the pandemic rolled around. So they were really looking at expanding into wider venues even, just to kind of make this easier on everybody that wanted to attend. So it's the coming together of tribes. There's no other way to say that. Like, you have a little bit of Black Hat, White Hat, Gray Hat, I mean, whatever color hat you want to put on yourself. There's room for that there. Now, that brings a lot of concern from attendees in some cases, especially people that are coming from a more corporate security background, right? It seems like there's a high chance of being a target for exploitation. And, you know, some of that does happen there, but I think the fear of it is far greater than the reality. And later on in this podcast, we'll get to talking about things you can do to make sure you don't become one of the people that gets targeted. Really, this one is important because throughout its history, there have been many times that what would become our modern InfoSec industry would kind of get its start from something that happened at DEF CON. I'll go back and point to my first DEF CON, 1999, was the year that a group known as the Cult of the Dead Cow released Back Orifice 2K, which is a play on Microsoft's back office suite of products. And, you know, this is the kind of conference it can be.
It's a very, like, Tool album themed name.
It really
is. Funny enough.
Yeah. But what it was a remote access tool. Now, it didn't really break any laws. Like, it was just exploiting weaknesses that existed that Microsoft had refused to patch up until that point. The ensuing media circus that the CDC had drummed up around this event caused Microsoft to take patching seriously. And a few years later, we would get Patch Tuesday, which we all know and love, maybe.
And or hate.
Yeah, right.
So the day that drove vulnerability remediation practices across the industry.
Right. But, ideas and concepts like responsible disclosure, those were all born at DEF CON over time, right? So there's all sorts of really interesting things that come out of this conference that long-term may change trajectories of our industry. So it's worth attending. It is by far the largest hacking conference in the world, as I like to call it, Black Hat's older, punkier brother. It's a focus on data accessibility this year, so that's going to lead to some interesting talks that I'm sure involve particularly privacy and maybe even intellectual property, things like that. So it's going to be a very interesting year, considering everything going on in the world and kind of what they're focusing on. It's a very topical time for it. Now, the talks focus on thought leadership sometimes, privacy, policy, and this is what I don't think a lot of people realize about DEF CON. Their policy village is one of the incubators for everything we as an industry end up doing 5 years later, right? Like the ideas start there, get picked up, and then turn into laws, guidelines, so on and so forth. So
interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting village in that case. And there's a lot of exploits, like a lot of new vulnerabilities and exploits get debuted there, much like Black Hat. But the difference is, generally speaking, these are being celebrated as research instead of just being reported, right? So the party atmosphere lends into that. And what I can't say, what I have to say, is that when you think about someone coming into the industry or getting into this space, all of these conferences, particularly DEF CON, Diana Initiative 2, really kind of open up a community to them that allow them to know people, you know, get to know more about this world and hopefully get invited in and fall in love with it, right? So there's a lot going on at DEF CON. It's 35,000 of your closest nerd and geek friends basically celebrating what we do. So good time and worth attending if you get a chance.
Awesome. That was a great overview. And just for the audience here, if you're planning on attending all of these, you're going to be pretty busy because they overlap a little bit. So I know Paul is actually, so he's got a full 7-day itinerary. But just for the audience, the Diana Initiative, it kicks off Monday, August 4th.
And I believe it's a one-day event this year. I believe it's only one day.
Yeah, one day. And then B-Sides Las Vegas is August 4th through 6th. So it's overlaps a little bit with Diana Initiative and overlaps with Black Hat. Black Hat actually kicks off, I think, the weekend preceding all of this with training.
With the training,
Yeah, the actual show floor is only 2 days. So Black Hat is August 6th and 7th. So that's where you get the corporate side. So that's what, Wednesday, Thursday. And then DEF CON, what looks like that kicks off August 7th through 10th. So overlaps with the last conference day of Black Hat and goes through the remaining weekend. So quite a schedule.
About day four of that week, having done this marathon a few times, you start to feel yourself, you know, there's only so much Vegas you can take. That's what I'll say. Like there, somewhere around day four, it starts to change you a little bit. So, you know, pace yourself, have fun, but, you know, also just be aware it's okay to go sleep in your room for a while because you not, I mean, overstimulation is a thing, right? It becomes a big deal after a few days. So.
Yeah. Work on your walking cardio, eat your Wheaties, drink some Airborne. There is such thing as a black hat flu.
Yeah, so con crud is real. You know, that was one of the greatest things whenever we started having mask regulations. I know everybody didn't enjoy that time, but, you know, people stopped getting con crud regardless of what it was. So it was kind of nice. But those days are over. So you know, these are big crowds and there's a lot of people. And it's going to be like that for going to a concert or DEF CON, right?
Yep, absolutely. Well, hey, Paul, why don't you spend some time? I know there's some specific sessions, primarily at Black Hat and DEF CON, that we wanted to cover. So maybe some folks might want to pencil in and schedule, make some time during their busy week to go check out.
Yeah, so of interest to our industry in particular, you know, I think there's probably my favorite thing at Black Hat to do every year is Arsenal. And it's a section of the show floor. So anybody that has a Black Hat pass, regardless of what kind of Black Hat pass it is, can get access to there. And you'll see practitioners that are showing off new tooling they've built for defense mechanisms and such. And it's actually a really good space to get ideas, see what's out there. They're almost always open source tools, so you can even pull the code down and poke around on them, see how they achieve some of their goals. You want to integrate it into what you're doing. It's a really valuable place to learn about tooling that's emergent in our space. You know, there's a few talks this year in particular that are really interesting, I think. One is Death by Noise, and it's Abusing Alert Fatigue to Bypass a SOC, EDR edition, as they call it.
Yeah.
That one's of particular interest to me because, you know, we're constantly in a battle to figure out ways to stop those bypasses from happening. And so it's going to be an interesting talk, I think, for anybody that even just has an EDR in their environment. You know, how do you look for signs that your EDR is being bypassed, right? So always good.
Well, alert fatigue's interesting too because what we were seeing push fatigue to bypass two-factor, right? Like, let's push enough notifications via Okta that someone just says, fine, it's 2 a.m. I've gotten 8 of these notifications and clicks to let people through.
Yeah, it's really kind of more like a technology-assisted social engineering when you think of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're exploiting the human at the end of the chain. That's really it.
Awesome.
So the next one, look, anytime someone shows up during summer camp and they have anything related to a space, you know, as in outer space, hacking vulnerability or whatever, I'm in. I'm just going to be there. And this one is called Burning Trashing Spacecraft Crashing, a collection of vulnerabilities that will end your space mission. Look, it doesn't get nerdier than this, and I'm here for it. And I absolutely love it. you know, a few years ago, there was and I think they're doing it again this year. There's been a Hackasat competition at DEF CON where a friend of mine actually runs this CTF, Capture the Flag, for those who haven't been before. And what it is they actually got a satellite put in orbit, and you can build the tooling to hack on that satellite and get the flags you need out of it to win the contest.
Yeah. What?
Yes. These are things that happen. You know, it's a great thing. Like, it really brings out talent and lets people show off what they're capable of, right? So, but anytime you have an event like that, I'm there. Like, I got to see this.
Sign me up. Hacking in space, that's wild.
Oh, not, yeah. Yeah, like, when my friend told me that they were doing that, I was like, what? Really? Okay, yeah, I'm there. I did not qualify, for what it's worth, but yeah.
Maybe next year. No one tells always Starlink either.
Yeah. So there's a whole lot of AI security bypass talks at Black Hat. It's a hot topic right now. I think it's worth checking some of those out. I could have listed a few of them, but there were so many that sounded good that I think just trying to focus on that topic is a good idea. And the opposite side of that there's a lot of cloud identity exploit talks at Black Hat too, and that's something we've seen on the rise for a few years. So always good information to know about and understand.
Yeah, no, that seems to cover a lot of the, I mean, you can't go into a cybersecurity conference and not hear about AI, but interesting to see some of the attacks on cloud reemerging, but I guess no surprises there either.
No, it's become an identity game over the years, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you can get compromised credentials to get access, you're actually in a stronger position than if you're just sending a phishing link usually, right? So that's why you see that exploited more commonly now than I think maybe 5 years ago. But always topical, always good stuff. I cannot emphasize this enough, that the best thing you can do is take a look at the list of talks at Black Hat's website or on the agenda when you get there, and decide what is most pertinent to your interests or needs and try to hit those talks. There is so much going on, you will not be able to hit everything. Just make peace with that ahead of time. Find the ones that are highest value and try to get there and hit those.
Yeah, good advice all around. What about DEF CON? I know it's split into specific villages or themes, if you will. So.
Yeah, so DEF CON's my happy place. There's a lot of interesting villages there. You know, I mentioned the Hackasat competition. That's based out of the Aerospace Village, just as an example. And so you go there, and there's several practitioners that'll have booths set up with little contests or whatever, and you can walk through and learn more about the challenges affecting that particular industry vertical, right? So aerospace in that case. There's a car hacking village that is much the same thing, but for automotives. You know, malware village is an interesting one because it's usually contest to build malware, which I know sounds scary, but you also learn how to better defend against edge case malware through this, right? So very interesting one there. And the thing about DEF CON is you always have to remember there's both sides of use cases with any tool that's built. So you can learn from an offensive tool just as easily as you can use the defensive tool, right? So, you know, worth looking into how the other side thinks.
Well, and all the various colored hats are as well, right?
That's true. That's true. And that creates a lot of anxiety that I hope to put to rest in just a few minutes. So, you know, a couple of the other villages that are important, I don't think anybody realizes how integral policy village is across the board for developing what our industry does long term and what's legal and not legal in some cases, right? Like that's been a case as well. Malware village, I mentioned, crypto village. So crypto is not for cryptocurrencies. We're talking about cryptography. And this is a village that's largely based around privacy and practical applied internet communication privacy. It's a really interesting village. It will get deep into encryption. So if that's not your jam, you know, you'll probably be bored. But I find it incredibly, incredibly interesting to see what steps teams are taking to better ensure privacy for their communications. So always a good one to hit.
I'm sure it also starts to increasingly include quantum and the threats therein.
Yeah, that's a topic that's been going on there for a good 8-9 years now. Mm-hmm. You know, we are closer and closer to having that problem if we haven't already passed that line and just don't know it yet, right? So there is a lot of practice time, particularly around that village, going into those discussions. And you know, I'd have to give a shout out to the Post-Quantum Cryptography Alliance, a nonprofit out there trying to organize those efforts, because it's going to be a bad day when we hit the quantum break, because basically everything you've ever logged is no longer encrypted. That's going to be a tough day for everybody. So
sounds like a whole podcast episode in and of itself.
It's going to be that would be a great topic. Yes. So a couple of talks at DEF CON I'm really interested in. One's called The Ultimate Hack, Applying Lessons Learned from the Loss of Titan to Maritime Security, Cybersecurity. So if you remember the Titan disaster about a year and a half ago, this is a former admiral of the U.S. Navy taking lessons learned from the investigation and how they could have maybe put in some safety protocols to avoid that disaster. So going to be an interesting one. There's one on an advanced active directory to intra ID lateral movement technique that I find fascinating. Once again, we're back to that identity theme we talked about with over at Black Hat, right? Same thing going on there. And there's this one is near and dear to my heart, being a threat guy and a detection sort of guru. I don't know that this is the first time, but it's the first time it's been put out there where a nonprofit, more people-focused sort of org has started applying threat detection techniques to privacy violations. And it's fascinating to me. So basically, the title of it is Recording PCAPs, Packet Captures, from Stingrays, which is a device that intercepts cell phone communication, mm-hmm. right, with a $20 hotspot. This is about the EFF's recently released project called Ray Hunter. And it's fascinating to me to see the more consumer level kind of approach with threat detection being applied. I don't know that there's been a good precedent for this before. So this one is one that really fascinates me.
Super interesting. Stingrays, that's primarily used by law enforcement agencies and things like that, right?
Well, I can tell you at DEF CON, it's not just law enforcement agencies. There are plenty of people that build their own, basically. So there are many use cases that this applies to. Law enforcement is probably the most commonly thought of one. But what they're doing is interesting because they're not really doing anything offensive in this. They just want to be able to detect when this is happening so that they know what that looks like. It's really a pure research project. It's pretty fascinating.
Awesome. Well, now that we've kind of got the map, or I guess the week mapped out from Paul's point of view, but let's talk about something just as important as the talks and the swag. How to stay safe while you're there. I think anyone who's kind of been a veteran of these shows probably has some cybersecurity stories to tell. Paul, what are your top do's and don'ts for staying secure in Vegas during this whole week?
I like that you brought up the burner phone earlier because it's totally an option. You can go that route. Nothing wrong with that. I've done that before for DEF CON, but I think it's overkill. And here's why. The vast majority of what you want to protect is your personal information. If you need to access your bank, any kind of secrets, right? So that would also include, you know, if you need to work from on site or something. Like there's a million different scenarios you want to protect that. And a burner phone sounds great, except it's more likely to be a cheaper, older phone you're going to use, and the exploits are more likely to be available for it because it's older and maybe not as supported as it once was. So I try to shy away from that in this day and age. It's really all about encrypting all your communications, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's a far stronger way to defend yourself than just a burner phone. So when I bring this up, you know, my mind goes to tools for chat like Signal, right? You know, putting up a full tunnel VPN from your mobile device, whether it's your laptop or phone, because you're taking those bytes off the record then. Even if someone intercepts it, they're not going to be able to see what you're actually communicating unless they've done something very, very complex and that wouldn't be burned at DEF CON, right? That would be held for other use cases because it'll get caught at DEF CON.
Maybe a talk in the encryption.
Right.
Track.
So, you know, tools like Signal, I know some people prefer other encrypted chat options, but that one to me is the strongest one out there right now. You know, when you think about your data at rest, make sure you've got encrypted volumes on any laptop, things like that. You don't want a laptop to get stolen and, you know, it's a bad space to get into. Wi-Fi and LTE best practices, it's the same. I mentioned that there are individuals that will run a Stingray at DEF CON. I've encountered this phenomenon many times while there. Some of them will even have them in a backpack. So there's no clear antennas or anything. Like, yep. It gets pretty interesting. So in that particular case, that's why I come back to having that fully encrypted VPN tunnel. It doesn't matter much which provider you use or if you have your own. I run mine out of my house, so all my data at DEF CON is coming back out of my home, according to the internet. So Yeah. You know, really focusing on that and having that VPN full tunnel always on is important.
And that matters because, like you were saying, like people put functionally man-in-the-middle attacks, right? They'll generate their own Wi-Fi networks that have the same SSID as the conference or whatnot. And so there's a chance your phone or laptop connects directly to it and you're funneling all your data through them and then it's going on to the regular network.
That's right. And you know, even more than that, most mobile devices will freely roam to a network that's mimicking the network you mean to be on instead of checking to make sure that it's not roaming to somebody else's endpoint, right? So at the end of that, you're right. Like, it really comes down to, if you do accidentally roam onto a vulnerable Wi-Fi access point, you just want to be protected in that scenario. And that full tunnel VPN staying on is really probably the best and easiest way to do that. Okay, so here's a tip that most people don't think of because it's a little bit counterintuitive. You're going to be in Las Vegas. You're going to perhaps want to gamble or have cash for whatever reason. A lot of people get concerned about pulling cash out during DEF CON, so they're afraid there's going to be card skimmers, whatever, at an ATM. Yeah. My advice to you is go directly to
a skimmer, by the way, for people who don't know, is for an ATM, they'll throw on a little device on the front that looks like part of the machine. And when you put your card in, you don't know, but it makes a copy of all your information as it goes into the ATM. Get your card back. You don't know, but they got your card number and PIN.
That's right. And this can be done even on gas pumps and such, right? I mean, anywhere you would slide a card that's not usually behind a counter is a place where this can be exploited. And they're very convincing looking. But at DEF CON, you know, some of that does occur. But the truth of the matter is there's one safe place to get cash. Go right to the casino floor to one of their ATMs. Hmm. Because there's so many cameras on those. Nobody actually touches them. Everybody's afraid to go try to put a skimmer on it because they'll get caught, right? So they're relatively safe space to do that.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the most valuable pieces of advice I never hear anybody say. But that, you know, definitely do that.
Well, the casinos take that very extremely seriously, too. So that's, I'm sure, a deterrent for a lot of people who normally would think about doing something like that.
I have seen once people attempt to do this, and within 2 minutes being carried out of the casino by unbadged, unmarked security. So private security at the casino. That's the last security group you want to deal with. Like, that's scarier than police showing up. No, I would not ever want to be that guy. Anyway, so that's a big part of it. One of the things that some people may encounter at DEF CON, and honestly the whole week, and I think it really depends on how well known you are in this case, but foreign intel agents have been at DEF CON and Black Hat before and trying to make connections with people. So if you have an executive title or you're well known in the industry or you know, you're just a famous person even that goes there, which does happen, just for an example, Deadmau5 was at DEF CON last year walking around in a Deadmau5 helmet and nobody realized it was him. Everybody thought it was somebody in a Deadmau5 helmet.
I saw him. I had no idea.
Yeah, that was him.
Oh, wow.
Turns
out. Now I feel super bad.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised by that as well. But yeah, so what I'm saying is that if you've been involved in high-profile projects or work, whatever, it is not entirely uncommon to be approached by somebody that could be working for an intelligence agency. That's not a bad thing in and of itself, but if things feel a little off or it seems too good to be true or anything like that, just trust your gut on that, right? Kind of know that this problem can exist. Don't be scared of it, but, you know, just don't overshare, really, is what it comes down
to. So you're saying don't take the briefcase full of cash for my credentials for my work system. Got it.
I have yet to be offered a briefcase full of cash, but yeah, I think it's good advice. But you know, these approaches, when they happen, won't actually happen on the grounds of the conference. Usually it'll be in a casino floor somewhere or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's you know, that's pretty typical for any event this size where you're going to have people with this much privileged access, right? They want to see if they can make buddies with people. So, you know, just be careful what you share and how you talk about things. If you have someone that you don't know chatting you up, that's all.
Well, and if you have a role or happen to have some sort of privileged information, you're possibly a target there. So just keep that in mind, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rely on the encryption tools. Keep your VPN up. Keep your chats private. You'll be fine. As long as you do those things, your data is safe. Now, the human exploit piece of it, that's a whole different story. And that's where it comes down to you being aware of your surroundings and who you're talking to, right?
Oh, you know what? I have another question too. What about, I like to count my steps, right? So Apple Watches or, sure, you know, little IoT, I guess, considered devices. Like any tips on those during the conference?
I usually turn Bluetooth off when I'm on the conference floor. And even a few times there's been people with exploits that were able to use basically a magic packet to turn Bluetooth back on to a device that was nearby that Bluetooth was turned off on. But that's pretty rare and pretty difficult. The chances you encounter that are not likely. But I'm not afraid to wear a mobile device, wearable, if you will. But the communication stream between my phone and it, I will leave off while I'm there so it can log my steps, do whatever. I won't get my update till end of day, right? When I turn it back on.
Back in your hotel room or whatever.
Yeah, just a little bit of distance away from the conference, right? Now, that particularly applies to Bluetooth and to a lesser degree, maybe Wi-Fi. When it comes to LTE, because of the nature of those signals, how far they can travel, how far away you can be from a tower. Mm-hmm. Really, what I would tell you to do there is keep that VPN on, regardless of whether you're on Wi-Fi or LTE. That way, if you do encounter a Stingray device that you may not have any idea you're encountering, you don't end up accidentally sharing information you don't want to share, right? The VPN is important no matter which type of network you're on.
Awesome. So key takeaways I'm getting is encryption on, like non-negotiable. You need encryption turned on for all your devices.
That's right.
And then anything that connects through the air and or via wire at all, you should have VPN running basically the entire time you're there.
Yeah, I think that's the advice that I've come down to over the years. I have yet to end up on the Wall of Sheep, which for anybody that doesn't know about the Wall of Sheep is literally a big display on a wall where they put up the names of people that they were able to compromise their data over the Wi-Fi network there, right? So just to be aware, you know, if you use appropriate VPN or encryption, you don't have to worry about that. Like they won't be able to tell what your metadata is to generate the name for that. So, you know, just do that. It's simple. It's cheap. It will just relieve any anxiety you have about being on site.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Paul. And I think that's a wrap for our first episode of Security.com, the podcast. Big thanks to Paul for walking us through what to expect and how to prepare for one of the most dynamic weeks in cybersecurity. Whether you're headed to Vegas or turning in from afar, we hope today's episode gave you a useful lens on different events, a few survival tips, and maybe even inspired you to check out a village or talk you hadn't considered. We'll be back in 2 weeks with episode 2. We'll share a story on using threat intelligence to stop the nuclear apocalypse. Not even joking. Nope. Until then, check out more insights and technical deep dives at security.com. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share the show with your fellow defenders. Thanks for listening. And remember, stay sharp, stay curious, and stay human.
Bye, Dan.